beloved, are you investing your life in? What are your hopes, your dreams, your goals? What do you plan to attain? And how are you going to attain it? Can you do it in your own strength? Oh, beloved, beloved, you will never make it unless God is the habitation of your righteousness, because everything else in this world is going to be brought to an end. Only God lasts. At the beginning of this week, we talked about America. And it's not the America that we know. It's America that is imploded, and it's so disappointing. And it's so devastating to see what is happening to our country. But how can you and I move forward in the midst of all of this? It's to understand that God's purposes stand, and to know that God is the habitation of our righteousness. So anything that God does in our lives that make us dependent on Him is worth it, because then we see who our God is. Then we see His strength. Then we look for His purposes, not ours. And we know the end of the story because we've opened the book and we've read the book, and God does nothing but what He tells His prophets beforehand. So we're seeing in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 what God has planned for Babylon. We're seeing that there are two different cities that are predominant in the Word of God. There's Babel that becomes Babylon, and there is Jerusalem, where God has placed His name and the place that His throne will be. Okay, now, in Jeremiah chapter 51, we're on verse 19. He has just told what the idols are like and how those that follow Him are stupid and they are without knowledge. If you're worshiping anyone other than God, and precious one, just listen, I want to say it nicely, but that, God says, is stupidity. It is stupidity. He says in verse 19, the portion of Jacob is not like these, for the maker of all is He, and of the tribe of His inheritance. In other words, I'm the creator. He has just shown us this in verse 15 of, and 16 of this chapter. He says, the maker of all is He, and of the tribe of His inheritance, the Lord of hosts is His name, Jehovah Shabaoth, the one that does His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. He says, you are my war club, my weapon of war. Now, when He says, you are my war club, who is He talking about? He's talking about Babylon. And so if you're color coding every reference to Babylon, He says, you are my war club, my weapon of war. I've used you. You've been the hammer, as we saw, of all the earth. With you, I shatter nations. With you, I destroy kingdoms. With you, I shatter the horse and the rider. With you, I shatter the chariot and the rider. With you, I shatter man and woman. With you, I shatter old man and youth. With you, I shatter young men and virgins. With you, I shatter the shepherd and his flock. With you, I shatter the farmer and his team. With you, I shatter governors and prefects. Prefects are those that rule over areas of the realm. He says, I do that with Babylon. I'm God. As I have purposed, so it shall come to pass. What I have planned, Isaiah 14, 24, no man can thwart. He's God. He says, but I've used Babylon to do all of this, but I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all their evil that they have done. Now where? in Zion. Listen to me very carefully. Israel is the pupil of God's eye. It says apple, it means the pupil of God's eye. You don't stick your finger in God's eye and get away with it. You don't come against Israel and get away with it. And you see, when America turns from Israel, when America plays the harlot against God and turns against Israel, and they're playing the harlot, you say, but it's politically expedient. But you don't know what's happening to the Palestinians and this and that. Listen, go back to the Word of God and tremble if America does not support Israel, because God has judged every nation that has not stood with Israel, but has come against it. We think we're so smart. It says, all right, he says, behold, I'm against you, O destroying mountain, talking to Babylon, who destroys the whole earth, declares the Lord. And I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will roll you down from the crags, and I will make you a burnt out mountain. Now, mountains are referred to, are used as a synonym for kingdoms. He says, and they will not take from you one stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations. Many, many times when they rebuild a city after it's been destroyed, they'll take the rocks that are there from the destruction, and they will use them to rebuild the city. But Babylon's not going to be rebuilt. It says, they will not take from you even a stone for the corner or a stone for foundations, but you will be desolate forever, declares the Lord. So you want to mark forever, because there is no rebuilding. There is no replanting of Babylon. And this is why, beloved, you know that this is still yet future, because you go to Iraq. You can go to Iraq and you can see what Saddam Hussein has rebuilt of the city of Babylon, the temples that he's put there. He was making his name great. He wanted to be like Nebuchadnezzar. But where is he? He's dead, and he is in a place of eternal judgment. It says, lift up the signal in the land, blow a trumpet among the nations, consecrate the nations against her, against Babylon. Summon against her the kingdoms Ararat, Mimi, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal over her. Bring up the horses like bristly locusts. Consecrate the nations against her, the kings of the Medes, the governors, their prefects, and every land of their dominion. So the land quakes and rises. For the purposes against Babylon will stand. Now listen, the Medes and the Persians unified together and they conquered Babylon. But just remember, they spared it. They spared it. Now watch, he says, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. And that's what you see in Isaiah 13. So next to that verse, you want to write Isaiah 13. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in the strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They have become like women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. Remember, fire is a key word here. And you go to Revelation chapter 18 and you see Babylon being destroyed by fire, the smoke of her burning going up. The bars of her gates are broken. One courier runs to meet another, and one messenger runs to meet another to tell the king of Babylon that his city has been captured from end to end. Run here, run there, run and tell the king his city has been captured. And that's exactly what happens under the Medes and Persians, but it's going to happen again. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. At the time, it is stamped firm. And in a sense, that's what happened with the Medes and the Persians. They stamped it firm, but they did not destroy it. It says, yet in a little while, the time of harvest will come for her. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me and crushed me. He has set me like an empty vessel. Who is he talking about? Who's the me The me is Israel. The first me I marked with the Star of David in verse 34, and then every me under and my I put in blue. He says, he has set me down like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar came in. We're going to see it next in the next program. And we're going to see what he did to Jerusalem. He has washed me away. May the violence done to me and my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitant of Zion will say, may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to plead your case. God is going to plead the case of Israel, an exact full vengeance for you. I will dry her up her sea and make her fountain dry. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. They will roar together like young lions. They will growl like lions' cubs. And when they become heated up, I will serve them their banquet. I will make them drunk. Remember, Babylon is the golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. He says, when they become heated up, I will serve them their banquet and make them drunk that they may come jubilant and they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams together with male goats. Now listen to what he says. How Shishak has been captured, and the praise of the whole earth has been seized. Who's the praise of the whole earth? It's Babylon. I mean, the earth loves Babylon. Babylon is me. Babylon is me having my way. Babylon is me in rebellion against God. Babylon is me saying, listen, I will make a name for myself. Now, when he says Shishak has been captured, that's Jeremiah 25, 26, when earlier he speaks about the destruction of Babylon and the praise of the whole earth has been seized, how Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. Oh, beloved, don't place your faith in your ambitions and your desires. Make him the habitation of righteousness. We'll talk about it more in just a minute.
On the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Babylon, as you have seen, is going to be made desolate. It is going to be destroyed. So what is God's word to those of us that are pursuing, so to speak, a Babylonian lifestyle? A Babylonian of lifestyle where we play the harlot against God. A Babylonian lifestyle where we live immorally and maybe even still call ourselves Christians. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 42, the sea has come over Babylon. She has been engulfed with tumultuous waves. Her cities have become an object of horror, a parched land and a desert, a land in which no one lives. In other words, he's going to make it barren. And beloved, your life will be barren too, if God is not the habitation of righteousness for you. It says, and through whom no son of man passes, I will punish Bel in Babylon. Now that's a false god. That's worshiping your way. I will make what he has swallowed, what this god has swallowed, come out of his mouth. In other words, I'm going to make him vomit. And the nations will no longer stream to him, to Babylon. Even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. Now listen to his exhortation. Come out from her midst, my people. Each of you, save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Now in Jeremiah 50 verse 8, he says, wander away from her. In Jeremiah 51 verse 6, he says, flee from her. Now he's saying, come out from her midst, my people. And each of you, save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Make me your habitation. Come to me. Now that so that your heart does not grow faint and you are not afraid at the report that is to be heard in the land. Now listen to what he says. I think he's giving them warning. I was meditating on this morning and I think he's giving them warning. Get out of Babylon. And I think today he's speaking to you. Get out of Babylon. Make the Lord your habitation. Change the direction of your life. Be consumed with God. Wait for the city, which foundations is God. Wait for God. Wait for his righteousness. Wait for that new Jerusalem. And so he says, in verse 46, he says, now, so that your heart does not grow faint and you are not afraid at the report that will be heard in the land. For the report, now watch it, will come in 1 year. After that, another report in another year. I'm giving you a chance to come out, and violence will be in the land with ruler upon ruler. Therefore, the days are coming when I will punish the idols of Babylon, and her whole land will be put to shame, and all of her slain will fall in her midst. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon, for the destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. They're going to shout with joy. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 18 and look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her, against Babylon. In chapter 19, it says, after these things, I heard a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. And he has judged the great harlot, Babylon, who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. And he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they say, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Now I want to ask you a question. Is that what you want as your destiny? Is that where you want to make your investment? In a city, in a lifestyle, in a world system that is against God, whose smoke rises up forever and ever? Go back to Jeremiah 51, verse 49. Indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of the Israel. Also for Babylon, the slain of the earth have fallen. You who have escaped the sword, depart, do not stay. He said, wander away. He said, flee. He says, come forth from her midst. Save yourselves. Now he's saying, depart, do not stay. Remember the Lord from afar and let Jerusalem come to your mind. You say, but I'm not a Jew. But there is a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, Revelation chapter 21. And it is the holy city where you and I will live forever and ever if we belong to God. It says, we are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces, for aliens have entered the holy place of the Lord's house. They've walked into the Holy of Holies. That's what they did in Nebuchadnezzar's day. That's what they did in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That's what they will do in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish her idols, and the mortally wounded will groan throughout her land. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, though she should fortify her lofty stronghold, from me destroyers will come to her. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, go back to Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, verses 11 to 15. They think they can do it on their own. And this is what he says. The sound of an outcry from Babylon, of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, for the Lord is going to destroy Babylon. He will make her loud noise vanish from her, and their waves will roar like many waters. The tumults of their voices sound forth, for the destroyer is coming against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men will be captured. Their bows are shattered. Why? Now listen and don't ever forget it. The Lord is a God of recompense. He will fully repay. You sow to the flesh, of the flesh you reap corruption. You sow to the spirit, of the spirit you reap eternal life. He says, I will make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely raised, and her high gates will be set on fire. So the peoples will toil for nothing. The peoples will toil for nothing. Are you toiling for nothing? Are you setting up treasures in heaven? And the nations will become exhausted only for fire. Babylon will be destroyed by fire. You saw it in Revelation chapter 18. The message which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sarai, the son of Neri, the grandson of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Who is Sarai? It is Baruch's brother. And Baruch's brother goes with King Zedekiah in the fourth year of his reign to go to Babylon. Think Daniel chapter 3, when Nebuchadnezzar gathers all the prefects and the satraps and everyone that's ruling his kingdom and makes them come and bow down before a statue, all of gold, because Nebuchadnezzar intends to rule forever and ever and ever. He forgets that there's a God in heaven. Oh, beloved, in the fourth year of Zedekiah, that's when you see Jeremiah 27 and 28 saying, you go to Babylon. But now he takes another message, and that's the message. You go to Babylon, but know this, Babylon's going to be destroyed. Come out of Babylon. Oh, beloved, aren't you awed with the Word of God? Aren't you awed as you read and how God begins to put these truths together? Beloved, He's done it for you. This is your precept for life. Your precept for life today is that these are the words of life. This is what you are to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You are to study. You are to be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. I'm so proud of you for studying with us. I'm so proud of you for coming alongside of us. I'm so proud of you, some of you, because you have recognized that this is the most important thing that people can have today, is a knowledge of the whole counsel of God. Not just picking and choosing verses, but knowing the Word of God book by book, chapter by chapter, and then living by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This is how He becomes your habitation of righteousness. This is how He directs your path so that you know this is the way and I will walk in it. So you're not trying to build your own kingdom, but you're building the kingdom of God. And I want to thank you for your support. And I just want you to know that we need more who will come along and say, I'm being fed by this ministry. I want to support this ministry. I want to help this ministry reach across our land while there is time and go across those oceans and reach the nations, because this is God's message for the nations as well as for you and me. But how are they going to know if no one tells them? You and I are commissioned by God to put everything that we have into the furtherance of the gospel. When Paul was in prison and he wrote the people in Philippi, he was talking about his difficult circumstances and how they had turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. Paul also says in that same chapter, my ambition is to be pleasing to Christ. My ambition is to live for Christ. That's my desire. Whether I'm in this body or out of this body, I want to be pleasing to Him. I want Christ to be seen in me. Beloved, that's the kingdom that we're working for. That's the kingdom that we belong to. Our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for the Savior who delivers us from the wrath to come.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.